So we're going to talk about the Parshios, the Seder Parshios. We're going to be finishing Sefer Bamidbar in about a week. So we have Matos and Masai. And then for Shabbos Chazon, we'll be starting a new book, Sefer Dvarim. So we're finishing Sefer Bamidbar. Now, the question is, Ezra organized the calendar with regard to Parshios. And it's very interesting that during the three-week period, we finish up Sefer Bamidbar and we begin Sefer Dvarim. There are five Chumashim, Chamisha Chumshei Torah. So we have Shabbos Chazon right before Tisha B'Av, and we begin to read the fifth of the five books of Moses, right? Sefer Dvarim. And this is something that goes on year after year. All right. So we're going to try to figure out if we can give any sort of a meaning and an explanation to the fact that we make this transition during the three-week period between Sefer Bamidbar and Sefer Dvarim. Now, we can really divide up the Chamisha Chumshei Torah into two parts. The first part is Bereishis, Shmos, Vayikra, and Bamidbar. And then we have another part which is called Dvarim, Sefer Dvarim. And we'll see that the Gemara in a few places calls Sefer Dvarim Mishneh Torah. Wait a minute, this is mine. I wish people would not confuse me, because this is a class that I'm giving on Shabbos, and I'm going to get really confused if I... Again, I made four copies of the handout for today, so...
Okay.
So let's get started. We're trying to figure out why is it that during this period of Bein HaMetzarim, we're going to make the transition between Sefer Bamidbar, which completes the first set of which is made up of four Chumashim, and we make the transition into Sefer Dvarim, which is a separate category unto its own. Why did Ezra HaSofer, the Gemara records at the end of Masechet Megillah, that Ezra HaSofer organized the parshios that should be read at certain times in the Jewish calendar, the Hebrew calendar year? Why did he organize it that during this period of Bein HaMetzarim, we should be in the process of completing Sefer Bamidbar, which is the fourth in the series of four, and we should move on for Shabbos Chazon, right before Tisha B'Av, to Sefer Dvarim? So let's take a look at the beginning of the last parashia. The last parasha in the Torah in Bamidbar, in that first section, is Parashas Masai. And Parashas Masai begins with the words Ela Masai B'nei Yisrael. So there's a Sefer call that we've quoted it many times, the Megala Amukos, that's from Shimshon Shapiro, who lived 5 centuries ago. And he writes that if you take the first letter of each of those first four words of Ela Masai B'nei Yisrael, you will see that they make up the four Golios. What does that mean? The people of Israel will be sent into four different kingships that will subjugate the Jewish people. And those are the following: Edom, Madai, Bavel, and Yavam. So that's Aleph, Mem, Beis, Yud. So if you take the Aleph of Ela, and the Mem of Masai, and the Beis of Bnei, and the Yud of Yisrael, you have now Edom, Madai, Bavel, and Yavan. Now the number four here is very significant, because these are the four exiles of Jewish history, the Arba Golios. We'll soon see why Mitzrayim is not included as number five. We'll get to that a little bit later.
Because it included everything.
Correct, excellent. It included everything. The Megala Amukos goes on to add another remez, and he says the following: that if you look at the trup under the words Ela Masai B'nei Yisrael, it's Azla, Geresh, Munach, Revi. Azla means they were sent out, Geresh, they were exiled, Munach means the last stage, is Revi, is number four. And number four on the list is the Golus of Edom. That's going to be the final Golus. So Ela Masai B'nei Yisrael, which completes Parashas Bamidbar, now represents the masa. Masa means the travels, the journeys. And we have four major journeys in the history of Klal Yisrael, four major exiles that we go into. Now, what's the purpose of sending the Jewish people into exile? So there are 1,000 different answers to that question. We're going to focus on one of them. One answer is that we have to go into exile because there's certain kedusha, there's certain sanctity that is inherent in each one of these exiles, in each one of these golios, in each one of these ruling kingships. And we have to go in there and we have to clarify, we have to be mavar them, we have to be mitaken them. We have a positive impact to make on these four kingships. We have to be mala the nitzotzos, so to speak. We have to take those hidden sparks and we have to elevate them and illuminate them. The Megala Mukos further adds the following. In Shmon Esrei, in the first brach, we say, Umevi goel livnei v'nehem, leman shemo b'yava. Take the word mevi, which is made up of four letters. Mevi, mem, beis, yud, aleph.
Wow.
And if you scramble them around, you end up with Modai, Bavel, Yavan, and Edom. And the goel livnei v'nehem, you will bring a goel, a redeemer, to redeem us from these four golios, leman shemo b'yava, for the sake of God's name and his love for the Jewish people. The Megala Mukos doesn't stop here. There's a very famous pasuk in Yeshaya, we read in Haftorah, Tzion b'mishpat tipodeh v'shaveh b'tztaka, that Zion will be redeemed and its captors will be bought by tztaka, will be, in a sense, redeemed by tztaka, shaveh b'tztaka, will come back to the land of Israel with tztaka. And that's why the mitzvah of tztaka has a special power to bring about the geula, right? That's why Chabad, they're very into tztaka, because we want Mashiach now, right? So if we want Mashiach now, then shaveh b'tztaka, the secret of ending this golus, is inherent in the mitzvah of tztaka. If you look at Mishle, and you want to understand what the word Mishpat is, you read the pasuk in the 29th chapter, Mishle says, Melech b'mishpat yamid aretz, that God will set up, through his midah of Mishpat and justice, the land itself. And again, if you look at the first letter in each of these four words, Melech b'mishpat yamid aretz, you end up with the four golios. And that is Madai, Bavel, Yavan, and Edom. And basically, the way to bring the Mashiach, Mevi Goel, and the word Mevi is indicative of the four Golios, is through Mishpat, Melech B'Mishpat. And God is going to bring the end of these four, the termination of these four exiles. And how? Through what mitzvah? Through what power? Tztaka. Well, the pasuk there in Mishle, in that same area, a few chapters earlier, it says Melech. It says Matan b'seiser yichpe af. Okay. Does anybody know where I put my phone by any chance? Because I just want to make sure it's off. All right. Hopefully, you'll.
Okay.
It's a little bit embarrassing here. I can't find my phone.
I'll find you, Emma.
Yeah, well, I'd rather if you didn't, because that'll make even more noise. But as I speak, you can read the text inside, and you'll see. Oh, I know what it is. It's probably in my jacket. Nope, not my jacket. Okay.
Don't worry.
We'll find it.
Do you want me to read you?
No. We'll find it. Oh, here it is. I found it. I knew I'd find it. Okay.
Turn it off.
Now, thanks for telling me. I'm so glad you told me to turn it off. I wouldn't have turned it off without you.
I'm sure you wouldn't have.
Oh, yeah. Okay, good.
I'll call you later to find out if it's off.
So here's what we say about tztaka. Matan b'seiser yichpa'af. Yichpa'af means that God will subjugate his anger, divine wrath, because of this matan b'seiser. Matan b'seiser is, of course, the highest level of the mitzvah of tztaka. So what do we have? We have Mem for Matan, Beis for Beseser, Yud for Yichper, and Alpha Af, the same four letters of Mem, Beis, Yud, Aleph. Madai, Bavel, Yavon, and Edom. So if we summarize the whole presentation of the Megala Mukos, we come to the conclusion that, number one, the Masai that we're embarking on, right, which is at the end of Sefer Dvarim, is the Masai going out to Golis. How many Golios are there? Ela, Masai, Bnei, Yisrael. Those are the four Golios of Edom, Madai, Bavel, and Yavam. And Mevi, which again is Madai, Bavel, Yavin, V'Adam, Goel. And how? The Geula is going to come about through Melech, B'Mishpat. And what is Mishpat? Mishpat is Tipada, Tzion, B'Mishpat, Tipada, V'Shaver, B'Tztoka. The tremendous power that's inherent, excuse me, in the mitzvah of Tzedaka. And it's interesting that in Parashas Lech Lecha, when Avraham Avinu is described by God as his choice, Ki Yedativ, why did I choose Avraham? L'man Asher Yitzaves Banov Es Bnei Ben So Achrov V'Shamru Derech Hashem Lasos Mishpat Tzedaka U'Mishpat. Avraham Avinu is chosen as the father of that nation. God reveals why. Because Avraham Avinu will transmit a legacy to his descendants of Tzedaka and Mishpat. And that's going to bring about the Goel, the ultimate redemption at the time of Mashiach. And the parasha that immediately follows is the parasha of Vayera. Vayera Elav Hashem Be'elonei Mamre. Again, if you look at the Rashi Tevis of these words, Elonei, of Elav Hashem Be'elonei Mamre, you'll end up with Aleph, Yud, Beis, Mem, which is Edom, Yavon, Bavel, and Madai.
We don't get rid of them, do we?
What do you say?
We don't get rid of these people, do we? Well, we got rid of three.
Well, hopefully, at some point, when Mashiach comes, we'll be rid of them. But you're right. I mean, it's not an easy task. I mean, the Golis has been schlepping along for, I don't know, like maybe 2,000 years? Is that possible?
Yeah.
And
plus.
Right, plus even. So we're stuck with the four Golios.
Are we stuck with the four or only the last?
Well, now we're up to the last, but I'm just saying that the Jewish history is full of tragedy, and that's the four Golios. And as we said before, you might want to add a fifth Golos, which would be Mitzrayim, but the Megala Mukos says that the Arizal points out that the Mitzrayim Golos is a Golos Kolelos. Somehow all the four Golios and all that they represent, which hopefully we'll get to see as we go along.
We weren't a nation then.
Right, we're all included in Golos Mitzrayim. So the Pasuk says, V'elish mos b'nei Yisrael ha-boim Mitzrayim. Once again, the word ha-boim, which is Bavel, Madai, Yavon, and Edom, that's all Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim is the Golos HaKolelos. So now we have Eilet, Masai, Bnei Yisrael, Rashi Tevis, Edom, Madai, and Bavel. Let's understand that Torah Shebichtav is made up of the two parts, namely the first four Sfarim, and then we have the Mishneh Torah. The Gemara tells us in Brachos and in Megillah that the last of the five books are of Moshe Rabbeinu is the book of Mishneh Torah. Rashi explains, why is it called Mishneh Torah? Says Rashi, Shechazar Moshe v'omru lahem al ha-seder. That Moshe Rabbeinu gives us, on the top of page 2, Moshe Rabbeinu gives us a summary, so to speak, the highlights of what we have to know, and he gives it to us al ha-seder, in a certain order. He presents the highlights of Jewish history. K'dichsiv, Rashi quotes the pasuk at the beginning of the Dvarim. Be'ever ha-yardein, be'eretz Moav, ho'il Moshe, be'eretz ha-Torah zos. And Moshe Rabbeinu is going to give us an overview, a review of the main things that happened in the last four books that we have to take that we have to take with us moving forward. So Rabbeinu Bachai at the beginning of Dvarim says that the reason why this fifth book starts with the word Eileh, he says, Yesh Bisponein, Masha Hiskil HaSefer HaZeh B'milas Eileh, V'lo Amar V'Eileh HaDvarim, it says Eileh, as if we're talking about a separate entity. He says, Kevan Shakol Kashur, Shahakol Kisher Echod Bivov, Aval Ze Yorek Yasefer HaChemishi HaZeh, Afal Pishu Miyuchad, Im Arbar Rishonim HaKol Kesher Echad B'Yin Echad, Hinehu Inyon Bifnei Atzma. So he claims that the reason why the Vav was omitted is because this is a separate book unto itself, and it's called Mishneh Torah. So we have the four books and the fifth book, and the fifth book is separated from the first four. What we're going to try to understand based on the Archaim HaKadosh is what's unique about the fifth book that we said it's Eileh, it's a separate entity independent of the first four. So Rabbeinu Chaim ben Atar, the Or HaChaim, at the beginning of Sefer Dvarim, writes the following. It's a mind-boggling statement, and we're going to probably have to tone it down a little bit. It's a bit too revolutionary. He says, what's unique about the fifth and last Sefer? Why Eileh as a miyut to exclude it from the first four? He says, Pirush Lefisha Heim HaDvarim SheDibur Moshe Divrei Atzmo. What does that sound like to you, Rabbi Osai? Divrei Atzmo.
His own words.
This is pretty scary because we assume it's one of the Yud Gimel Ikrim that all five books, the entire entity of Chumash, was dictated to Moshe by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And here, the Archaim, if you take it literally, again, we're going to try to embellish it in a different way, he seems to be saying that the entire content of the fifth book is Divrei Moshe. He calls it Tochachos U'Musar Shel Moshe Rabbeinu. These are the words of Musar, of Moshe Rabbeinu. He goes on and quotes the Gemara at the end of Megillah that says, Klolos Shel B'Mishneh Torah. Right, we have Parshas Kitova, which is full of curses. That's Mipi Moshe Amar. The Gemara says it's Mipi Moshe. And if you take the Archaim at face value, what he's telling you is that this Chumash, as opposed to the first four Chumashim, is the Chumash Asher Diber Moshe. Elu Advarim Sheyatzu Mipi Moshe. So if you take a look, for those who like to follow a text in the middle paragraph of the Shvilei Pinchas on page 2, he says that this is a plea, that it's really very amazing or impossible to understand the Arachayim, that these are Dvarim Shediber Moshe. We have a statement in the Gemara in Sanhedrin in Perek HaChelek that the Gemara says HaOmer Ein Torah Min HaShamayim. If a person says that the entire Torah is Min HaShemayim except for one pasuk in the Torah, yeah, then he's considered a kofar. He's basically a denier of the tenets of our faith. The Rambam codifies this in his Yud Gimel Ikrim, which is in his Akdoma to Perek HaChelek in the Mishnah in the Pirush HaMishnayim. Sha'omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe Mipi Atzmo. Nothing in the Torah was Mipi Atzmo. So how could the Or HaChaim say that the last of the Chumashim, that Sefer Dvarim, is Moshe Amar Mipi Atzmo? So he says, Nira Pashut, he says, there's no doubt about it, that the Or HaChaim has a different meaning in mind. And to understand the meaning of the Or HaChaim, we have to go back to Tosus and Megillah. Tosus says, on the Gemara Megillah that we mentioned earlier, Klolos Shebimishneh Torah Moshe Mipi Atzmo Amron, says Tosus, Beruach HaKodesh. So it's Mipi Atzmon, but it's Beruach HaKodesh. Let's try to understand those two, the combination of those two phrases. To understand that, we're going to read through again Rabbeinu Bachai. This time Rabbeinu Bachai at the end of Sefer Dvarim. And he writes with regard to the close of Parshas Ki Tovo, Vidaki HaTochachos Shebeparshazu Nemra B'Loshen Moshe. Lo shomer Moshe mipi atzmo. Hare Kabbalah b'yadeinu shekol haTorah kulu b'breishis ad li'eni kol Yisrael hakol kasav Moshe b'pi agvura. Right, Moshe is a scribe that's getting a dictation. So how could it be that the klolos of Kiso mipi Moshe mipi atzmo amron? He says the following: Mashadoshu chazal klolos mipi atzmo amron. Hakavana bazeh lomar b'elu mipi atzmo sheskima daito ledas shalakadosh baruch. That Moshe Rabbeinu was inspired by the Ruach HaKodesh of HaKodesh Baruch Hu to come up with his formulation, which is exactly identical to the words of HaKodesh Baruch Hu. So when the Aruch Haim HaKodesh says that what's unique about the fifth book, which is called Mishneh Torah, is that Moshe mipi atzmo amron, it means that Moshe Rabbeinu was able to come up through his great Ruach HaKodesh with the same formulation, the same words that HaKodesh Baruch Hu came up with.
If he was up there for 120 days, he's already in a very... he's already on high. He's not on...
He's on a very high level, correct.
So that...
So let's see the words here. What level was he on? Says Zocha Lahasig Beruach HaKodesh as Divrei HaKodesh Baruch Hu. In other words, God had in mind the words that are written in Sefer Dvarim, but Moshe came up with it on his own because he was on such a high level that Zocha Lahasig Beruach HaKodesh. It's unbelievable.
So what's the difference between Ruach HaKodesh and Nevuah?
Nevuah, I think, is... Well, maybe in the case of Moshe Rabbeinu, what I'm saying is not necessarily correct, but Nevuah in general means to foretell the future. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us what to do at any particular juncture in history. Again, Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah is different, but just to answer your question...
And Ruach HaKodesh?
Ruach HaKodesh means to be inspired to come up with an idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself is going to come up with. But in Ruach HaKodesh, man is taking the initiative. In Nevuah, God takes the initiative.
Okay.
So Nevuah means that the Navi is passive and he receives the transmission from God. In the case of Ruach HaKodesh, man is inspired by God, but he comes up with his own formulation. So his words are his own.
So they were his own words, but they just happened to be the same as...
But again, when you say just happened, it sounds like you're saying it's accidental, but it's not accidental. It's the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu that somehow he was on such high level that he would come up with the exact words, every single letter, you know, every I is dotted and every T is crossed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Nusa.
So what we're saying is that had HaKadosh Baruch Hu not been there, that's what Moshe would have written. But in fact, Hashem dictated it to him and he wrote.
Right, right. Excellent. I like that formulation. So now we have to understand, if Sefer Dvarim, no less than the other four Sfarim, are the words of God, just that in the case of the last Sefer, Moshe Rabbeinu came up with the words of God, but they're ultimately the words of God, so then why do we separate between the first four and the last Sefer? What's the significance?
Well, the last one's like a Musar, it's not...
Correct, but
you're not looking at events. Everything
right.
has events to it.
Right. So we're going to learn. We're going to learn the Shvilei Pinchas today. And again, I apologize. I'm a little bit pressed for time, and I have so much to take care of today. But the Shvilei Pinchas is going to try to give us an insight into the unique nature of the fifth book of Eilu Dvarim, and that's the book that we want to begin as we enter into. As we enter into this transition period between the first 2 weeks of the Bein HaMetzarim and the third week, which is Shabbos Chazon, that's the Parsha of Dvarim. Again, as far as Kedushas HaTorah is concerned, we must understand, and that's one of the fundamentals, the tenets of our faith, that the Kedusha of the Torah is absolutely identical for all five books. I can't overemphasize that. But what is the unique nature or the message, like you say, the Tochacha of Sefer Dvarim? So he says the following. Jewish history, first and foremost, is divided up into four periods of time. Those are the four Golios. And they represent Bavel, Madai, Yavan, and Edom, as we discussed earlier. Now, after we pass through these four periods of time, we enter into the fifth period of time. What's the fifth period of time called? Yemos HaMashiach. So now, the first four Sfarim of the five books of Moses, Bereishis, Shmos, Vayikra, and Bamidbar, they correspond to the four Golios of Bavel, Madai, Yavon, and Edom. And I'm going to try to show how each of the four books of Bereishis, Shmos, Vayikra, Bamidbar has a deep connection to the four, each of the four Golios respectively. So we're going to set up a relationship between every single Sefer and every single one of the four Golios. And what it means is, and this is the last line on page 2 in the Shvilei Pinchas, he says the following: Or HaTorah, there's a light of Torah to each one of the four Sfarim. And that Or, that unique personality or supernal light of each of the four Sfarim, has a power to destroy, to undermine a koach hatuma of one or the other of the four Golios. Do you see that? This is what we call Zelu Maseh. In other words, the Kedusha of Bereishis is a unique Kedusha, and it's going to have the ability to undermine, he calls it Lishbar V'lachlish et koach hatuma of that one of the four Golios. We're going to go through each of the four Golios. So it means the following: that when the Jewish people enter into any one of those four Golios, they are absolutely overwhelmed by what we call, I mean, it's a mystical concept called Koach HaTuma, of that particular Golios. So each one of the four Golios has its unique Koach HaTuma that tries to undermine in a particular way the Kedusha of Klal Yisrael, the Shmira of the Mitzvahs of Hashem. And each one of the four books of Bereishis, Shmos, Vayikra, and Dvarim has its unique kedusha, its unique sanctity, which is meant to attack, so to speak, or detonate, or neutralize the power of that koach hatuma. Let's go through the four Golios and the four books, and then we'll get to Yemos HaMashiach. Number one, we're up to Sefer Bereishis. Sefer Bereishis corresponds to the Golos of Bavel. Why is that so? Well, we have the Tower of Bavel, correct? What is the Tuma of Bavel? He says the Tuma of Bavel is what he calls Merida Bashem, to rebel against God. That's the force of Golos Bavel. The Babylonians will tell you that we can do whatever we want, we have freedom, we don't have to pay lip service to any authority, any higher authority. And that's exactly what we have in what's called the Dar HaFloga. At the end of Parshas Noach, we have what's called the Dar HaFloga. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know what we're going to do with this Dar HaFloga? V'hifetz osam al pnei kol ha'aretz. He's going to spread them out on all four corners of the globe. And this is the Bavel, this is the admixture of these members of the Dar HaFloga that rise up to, you know, to Hashem in order to rebel against God. So now when we read Sefer Bereishis, in a certain sense it imparts or penetrates into it bequeaths into our spiritual system some sort of a power, an antidote to fight and destroy the Tuma of Bavel. Then we get to the second Sefer. That's Shmos Keneged Golos Madai. So what is the Koach HaTuma of Golos Madai? And how does Sefer Shmos correspond as a Kedusha against the Golos, the Lahachlish Ulashabres Koach HaTuma Shal Golos Madai. And he says the following: that the most important chapter in Sefer Shmos, as far as the Kedusha of Klal Yisrael and the choice of Klal Yisrael as the chosen people, is the Parsha of Aseres HaDibros Kabbalas HaTorah in Yisrael. Here the Jewish people are separated from the nations of the world. The Torah says, Vayisyatzvu b'tachtis ahar, and the Gemara says, Malamit shekof aleim es HaKadosh Baruch Hu es ahar kigigis. Right, we're all familiar with this. And God says, you know what? Either you accept the Torah or you get buried by this mountain. So that in a sense, the Kabbalah Satorah of Parshas Yisro is compelled upon Klal Yisrael, is forced upon them. But later in history, at the time of one of the four Golios, the people of Israel will rise to the highest level of Kabbalah Satorah. And what period of time do we have in mind? Correct, Megillas Esther, Bimei Achashverosh, because the Torah says, Kimu v'kiblu ha-Yehudim. And the Gemara tells us in Masechta Shabbos, Kimu mashekiblu kfar, that now it's a brand new Kabbalah Satorah. And this is a high-powered Kabbalah Satorah. This is the Kabbalah Satorah that counters the Golus and the Tuma and the Klipas Modai. Modai is the nation of Achashverosh. Then we get to Sefer Vayikra. And that corresponds to Golus Yavon. And here again, the Sefer Vayikra has a certain aura, a certain light, a spiritual but unique light. L'shaber l'hachish is koach hatumah shel Golus Yavon. And Golus Yavon refers to which period in Jewish history? Chanukah, correct? Chanukah. And he says the following. Avodas HaKorbanos, which is the central theme, the motif of Sefer Vayikra, is implemented by the Kohanim. And corresponding to the Kohanim, we have the battle against the Yavanim, which is going to be led by the Chashmonaim. The miracle of Chanukah is going to come through the Kohanim. It's very interesting because usually Malchus is given over to which Shevet? Yehuda, but in this case it's the Chashmonaim of Shevet Kohanim. They are going to bring about the battle and the success against Yavan. And that's because the Kohanim have that unique sanctity which is capable of neutralizing the power of Tumah of Yavan. And the reason for that is because Kohanim, the Pasuk says, Torah Yavakshim Yipiyu, that the Kohanim are in charge of transmitting the Torah, and Golus Yavan is all about denying the Torah. Yavan wants to say, no, there is no such thing as spirituality and sanctity. There's no higher moral code or mandate from the commander on high. That's Kisvu Lachem Al Keren Hashar, Ein Lachem Chelik B'Torah Yisrael. And that concept of Kohanim, that the Kohanim are going to be the bless you, the conduits to teach Torah to Klal Yisrael, that's going to be the antidote to neutralize the power of Tumah of Yavan. And if this be the case, we understand why, of all the five books of Moses, which one has a remez to Chanukah, meaning the lighting of the menorah. Which one?
Vayikra.
Vayikra, excellent. Which parsha, once you're telling me, I'm from? You got it, Baal Loscha. Right. Correct, excellent. In Baal Loscha. Now we're up to the fourth book, and that's the Sefer Bamidbar. That's, in a sense, the most important book, because that's going to be the Koach HaOr to vanquish Golus Edom. Edom is the Koach HaTumah that is antithetical to Klal Yisrael. And now we need to be Shomer on the Kedusha of Klal Yisrael, and that's going to come through Sefer Bamidbar. Specifically, we're going to pinpoint Parshas Chukas. What happens in Parshas Chukas? Vayishlach Moshe Malachim Mikodesh El Melech Edom. So this is going to be the confrontation with Edom, which is again a confrontation that dates back to the time of Yaakov and Esau, but in a more modern contemporary context, within Moshe Rabbeinu's context, it's it's the confrontation between Moshe and his Malachim and Edom Melech Edom, and he asks for permission to go through their land. Derech HaMelech Nelech Lo Nita Yemin Usmol Vayomer Elav Edom Lo Savar. If you go through our land, meet you and greet you with Melchama, with Cheret. Vayema'ein Edom Noson El Bnei Yisrael Avar Begvulo Vayet Yisrael Me'ala. So he says the following, that if you go back to the original conflict, if you will, or confrontation between Yaakov and Esav, it says regarding that conflict in Parshas Vayishlach, the Rashbi says the following: Halachi biyodua she'Esav sone liYaakov. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu recognizes and allows Esav to have a certain harboring within his Shoresh, within the, in a sense, the root of his soul, a sinah, a hatred against Klal Yisrael. And therefore the descendants of Esav, Sonis Yaakov, sinah gedola. Yaakov meaning Yaakov is Zara. And Kadesha Yuchal Zara Shal Yaakov Lamo B'Kedushasim B'Golus V'lo Yis'arvu B'Goyim Zara Shal Esav V'Yilmadu Mimaseyem. The battle between Yaakov and Esav is going to foretell all the influences of Esav throughout the generations on Yaakov, and that those influences are going to try to undermine the sanctity of Klal Yisrael in all of those years and decades and millennia almost that we are in this land of the Edomites. The Edomites are creeping in and they are trying to undermine us, and so many Jews unfortunately come under that influence and came under that influence, the time of the assimilation and intermarriage and the whole business. So Yaakov Avinu already sets the tone that with his Zera they're going to have the possibility of Lamod B'Kedushasam Afilu B'Golas Edom, that they can maintain their sanctity even during the terrible times of Golas Edom. And we begin to understand that Esav shows up to Yitzchak after Yaakov had already taken the brachos, and it says that Yitzchak at that point, when he realized what went on, it says Vayechrad Yitzchak Charoda Gedola, and Rashi comments Ra Gehenom Psucha Mitachtov. And nevertheless, even though Yitzchak realizes that he's dealing with someone who represents Gehenom, he's going to bless him. And what blessing does he bestow upon Esav? Valcharbucha tichye, and alcharbucha tichye means that Esav represent the Russia, the evildoer, and the paradigm of evildoer against the people of Israel for all generations. Alcharbucha tichye, and this bracha, which is bestowed by Yitzchak on Esav, is really meant in the original for Yaakov, correct? I mean, it's only because of the switch of he says Kadesh lo yizkaru zara shel Yaakov zara shel Esav yizkalkalu. No, it's the whole purpose of taking the cherev out of the hands of Yaakov. Again, this is a very what we're about to say is a very controversial idea. So, if you like controversy, listen carefully. According to the Shvilei Pinchas, the reason why Esav is given the cherev is because that's going to create a richuk, a distance between Klal Yisrael and the Edomites throughout Jewish history. And that's going to prevent us from losing our entire identity, our entire sanctity, by mixing with the descendants of Edom, because they, Edom, are going to fight us, and they're going to engage in military battles against us. And that's what keeps us separate from Edom as a separate entity. That's, as I say, a very controversial idea, but that's the idea that's presented here by the Shvilei Pinchas. So,
why is it so controversial?
To say that that all the... I mean, this is the Beis Halevi writes a whole thesis on this, that all of the tragedies and the persecutions were in order to make sure that we wouldn't intermarry with the Goyim. You know, that's a particular perspective. I mean, there are many other perspectives as to why we had to suffer so much. You know, it's one perspective.
Is this because of the brachas that Yitzhak gave to
Esav of Al Charbucha Tichya, and he's suggesting that
he's suggesting that he should be the whipping stick.
Yeah, and that's going to keep us far away. And some say that the worst assimilation is like say America today, you know, dafka because the goyim kaviyachol love us, which again that's in flux too, but that's vayishakeyu, if you remember. You know, Esav had two different methodologies to undermine Klal Yisrael. One was to fight against Klal Yisrael, to try to destroy it. And then this Vayishakehu philosophy, you know, to get close to Klal Yisrael, that we would live in such a society that we would mix with the Goyim and ultimately lose our identity, chas v'shalom, and assimilate. So this perspective is that
then in America they were successful.
Correct. And this perspective is that, you know, Yitzchak gives Esav al Charbuka Tichya so that there will be some Sheiris HaPleito to Klal Yisrael. So the adversity of the nations of the world, and specifically Edom, against Klal Yisrael is going to guarantee that we remain a separate entity. I mean, that's a scary idea, but it basically means that unless the nations of the world hate us, we may actually, through that friendship, that we may end up assimilating. All right, I don't want to get in, this is a topic unto itself. I mean, I'm trying to get to the finish line. We have
going down like us that much.
Right.
If they assimilate too well, they will.
Right, then the hatred that they perpetrate against us is going to prevent assimilation, according to this. Particular, you know, there are so many different answers to the question of anti-Semitism, but this is one of them. All right, I don't want to belabor this point, because again, I'm just trying to get to the fifth, you know, the fifth book of the five books. That's the most exciting, and that's Sefer Devarim. But before we get to that, let's just point out that there's a very interesting pasuk here in Parshas Chukas, Vayomer Elav Edom Lo Savar Bi. I'm not going to let you pass through my land. And why? Pen Becherev Eitze Lekrasecha. And this is a reference, an allusion to Al Charbucha Tichya. Now, what is Al Charbucha Tichya? It sounds like it's a real problem for Klal Yisrael, right? It's a klola that the hatred of Esav for Yaakov throughout the generations is going to express itself in the cheret. But now we're saying something different. That when Yitzchak bestows upon Esav al charbucha tichya, that's actually a bracha. Now, what makes it into a bracha? I mean, obviously it's a bracha, but why is it a bracha for Klal Yisrael? And the answer is, as Rashi points out, says Rashi Klomik, Sheyavru Yisrael al Torah v'yilahem pischom pel itztayral abrocha shenotlan uparkan olo. So the bracha al charbucha tichya is a tova for Klal Yisrael. It's a good thing. Shelo yiskalkalu me Esav v'zaro. That's going to keep that distance between Klal Yisrael and Esav and his descendants, so that we shouldn't be miskalkel, because if we get too close to them, we'll probably assimilate with them. So he says, according to this, Sivev HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that in the Sefer Bamidbar there would be a mention of Golas Edom, in which Edom fights against the Jewish people and says, Pen Becherav Eitze Lekrasecha. And therefore, Sefer Bamidbar is specifically, or shall we say, uniquely connected to Golus Edom. Mm-hmm. And now we turn to page 4. Okay, so we have Bavel, Modai, Yovan, Edom. We have Breishis, Shmos, Vayikra, and Bamidbar. And now we have the special capital in Tehillim of David HaMelech, Kuf Chavav, Shir HaMalos, B'Shuv HaShem, Shiva Sion, Hayinu Kecholmim. So Shiva Sion is represented in David HaMelech's Shira as a chalom, as some sort of a dream. What's that all about? So he says the following. B'shuv Hashem Shiva Sion, what that means is at the time of the ultimate Geula, that's called Shiva Sion in David's language, Yisbonenu Yisrael al kol arba golios hakoshes overlim. They're going to begin to contemplate the four major periods of time, the four exiles of Jewish history. This is going to happen at the time of Shivat Zion. V'yispalu, they're going to be amazed when they look back over their shoulder at Jewish history. Ech, how is it possible that they were still omed b'kedushasam? They were still able to retain their sanctity against these four Goliaths, these four powerful powers of Tumah, each represented by a different one of the four Goliaths. How could they maintain their Kedusha? You know, it's like Lost in Love of the Tzaddik is going to look at the Eitzar and see a har. He's going to say, how was I able to climb this mountain? is b'shuv Hashem eshiv atzino yinu kecholmen. Kecholmen means when you think of a dream and then you wake up from the dream, realize I can't believe in that dream, right? It's a dream. It's only a dream. And lo nuchal lahamin, we won't be able to believe how we succeeded over Jewish history to remain b'kedusha. It must be a dream. It's like a dream. It's something that couldn't be in reality. Hayinu kecholmen. When we look over our shoulders at Jewish history, it's hayinu kecholmen. But David HaMelech tells us that b'shuv Hashem eshivas Tzion, that the answer to how we were able to successfully overcome the powers of Tuma, of four nations, of four kingships of Goliath that subjugated the Jewish people, the answer is b'shuv. And what is b'shuv? B'shuv represents these four sforim: Beis for Bereishis, Shin for Shmos, Vav for Vayikra, and finally Beis for Bamidbar. In the zchus of the Ara Torah that's unique to each one of these four books, we were able to break the kochos hatuma of Bavel, Madai, Yavan, and Edom. Again, what we're talking about are the four Goliaths in that specific order of Beis, Mem, Yud, Aleph. And that's the way we were successful. The Hayinu Kechom, the answer to the Chalom, to the dream, is the four powers of these four Sfarim. Each one has its own unique R, its own spirituality, its own power that penetrates into our hearts and into our souls. And now if we go back to the end of Sefer Bamidbar, Ele Masai Bnei Yisrael, which we said in Rashi Tevas, Edo, Madai, Bavel, and Yavan. And this is meant to teach us, as we finish the series of four Sfarim, meaning the last of the four is Bamidbar, that the Or Torah of the first four books, including Bereishis, Shmos, Vayikra, and Bamidbar, are the power they invest or input into Klal Yisrael, that power to be able to contend and defeat and vanquish that Koach HaTumah, the four different Kochos HaTumah of the four Goliaths of Edom, Madai, Bavel, and Yavan. And that's the Koach HaKiyum, that's the secret to maintaining the existence, the continued existence as an entity of sanctity of Klal Yisrael during that terrible period, four terrible periods of four Goliaths. And now we're up to Sefer Dvarim. Unfortunately, we only have a few minutes left, but I'm going to try to fit in whatever I can in those few minutes, because this is the most exciting part of our discussion, our study today. Sefer Dvarim, the fifth of the five books, corresponds to the period of the ultimate Geula, at the time of Mashiach. And we'll see this in a Medrash that interprets a Pasuk in Yeshayahu HaNavi. The Pasuk is very ambiguous. It says, Ki Torah me'iti teitze, describing what's going to happen at the end of time. God says the Torah will come me'iti. And the Gemara and the Major says the following: Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Torah chadasha me'iti teitze. There's going to be a brand new Torah that's going to come from me. Chidush Torah me'iti teitze. That Liyasid Lov HaKadosh Baruch Hu will reveal a Torah chadasha. Now, what does that mean? We have a tenet of the faith that our Torah will never be replaced by another Torah. Zos HaTorah L'tei Mukhlefes, it will never be replaced. There will never be another Torah. Me'es HaBorei Yisbarach Shemo. So what could it be when the Medrash says that there's going to be a brand new Torah? It's not pshat that there'll be a brand new Torah. What it means is that there'll be a gilui, there'll be some revelation with new hasagos and new understandings, new concepts that have never been revealed before. And what it means is we were never able to reach that high level to be masig in this world that part of the Torah. And what is that part of the Torah? That's the part of Geula Sida. We couldn't understand how it is that we as a people, as a nation, would be able to survive all these Goliaths, will be able to persevere and reach the highest Madrigas that we'll reach until we have already The Geula Asida, the ultimate Geula, and Mashiach comes. How could it be, as we asked before? And the answer has to lie in this Medrash about a Torah Chadosh Ve'iti. What is this Torah Chadosh Ve'iti? It gives the Jewish people a unique ability, which they never had before, to reveal what it means for Golios and Klal Yisrael still maintaining its existence. That is the question of all questions, and that's going to give us the answer of all answers, Mirtz Hashem, at the time of the ultimate Geula. That's going to be the Torah Chadosha. The Medrash says, "Osed Hakadosh Baruch Hu Lios Yoshev B'Gan Eden V'Dorish Kol Atzadikim Yoshev L'Fanam Kol Pamal Yishal Malah Om Deval Regleim V'Chama U'Mazolos Miyamino Shal Kadosh L'Vanam V'Kol Chavim Mismola V'Hakadosh Baruch Hu Yoshev V'Dorish Torah Chadosha Shosed Litein Al Yidei Mashiach." We see clearly from this Medrash that in the future time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give us the Torah Chadosha through the Melech HaMashiach. Moshe Rabbeinu will be the Goel, says the Zohar. The same Goel who took us out of Mitzrayim at the first Geula, Moshe Rabbeinu, he will be the Goel in the form of the Melech HaMashiach Lasid Lava. Probably means he'll work in tandem with the Mashiach. And this is indicated in the Pasuk, Lo Yasur Shevet Miyehuda. And the Zohar says, "What's Lo Yosu Shevet Yehuda Dov Mashiach Ben David?" This is an allusion to Mashiach Ben David. David comes from Shevet Yehuda, of course. Umachokek mi Ben Raglov Dov Mashiach Ben Yosef Ad Ki Yovo Shilo, and Shilo is Moshe. We usually tend to identify Shilo as Mashiach, but according to the Zohar, Mashiach at actually, we identify Shilo with Moshe. Moshe is the giver of the Torah. Moshe is the redeemer of Israel. Moshe, at the time of the ultimate redemption, will be there to play a major role, and he will give us this Torah Chadosha. He will again fulfill his responsibilities, contribution, his role of giving the Torah. Again, he will give the Torah. At the time of Mashiach, he will give a new Torah. And I'm fast forwarding now to the left column on page 4, because we're running out of time. And he says the following, that Moshe Rabbeinu places into Sefer Dvarim a Torah Chadasha. There's a certain deeper meaning to the words and the psukim in Sefer Dvarim that go beyond our perception, below the surface level, deep below the surface level of the Torah. That's the unique nature of Sefer Dvarim. Sefer Dvarim is going to be a limud that goes beyond the first four Sfarim. And what does that mean? Again, we saw in the Arachayim HaKadosh that Dibur Moshe Sefer Zed Divrei Atzmo. What's the Divrei Atzmo? What role is Moshe playing here with regard to Sefer Dvarim, in which Eilat Dvarim Hashem Dibur Moshe Eskol Yisrael? And this is the unique role of Moshe Rabbeinu as the giver of the Torah. He says the following, Moshe Rabbeinu Asid Lios Melech HaMashiach. Again, I don't know if it means literally Melech HaMashiach or it means that Moshe Rabbeinu is going to be the accompanying power together with Mashiach as a kind of a partnership. The Yalamed LiYisrael Torah Chadasha Zocha LaHasig Lifnei Ptiraso Beruach HaKodesh Shehu Tzarech Leganzam BeRemez BeSefer Dvarim. That Moshe Rabbeinu's job is to take this Torah Chadasha and to project it or have it penetrate into the Torah itself in a way that it's below the surface, but in a way that gam hasogas hachadoshes ha'elu, even though it's a new Torah, means there'll be new concepts, but it's all inherent in the Torah itself. And that's what he calls chlulim besoch ha'Torah. It's inclusive. It's included in the Torah itself. Zos haTorah lotei muklefes. We're not going to switch the Torah around and replace it. but rather everything will be in a remez form below the surface, incorporated into Mishneh Torah. So the unique nature of Mishneh Torah is that all of the deeper meanings of the Torah are inherent in Mishneh Torah. Inherent, I mean, it's a definition called remez. It's all alluded to below the surface in Mishneh Torah in Sefer Dvarim. And that's why we call it Mishneh Torah. Mishneh Torah means that the Asogas HaTorah are inherent, they're latent within Sefer Dvarim. And that's not a Torah Chadasha, we're not replacing the old Torah, but it's new insights and new concepts that we've never been exposed to, and they're going to come to the fore in Sefer Dvarim. They're all latent in the Torah itself. Now, do you have page 5?
No.
Alright, so we're going to run out of time. I'm just going to tell you that, just taking one point from page 5, and you'll photocopy page 5 if you like to go through it yourself, because there's a lot here on page 5. He's saying the following, that the first four Sfarim, which is Bereishis, Shmos, Vayikra, Bamidbar, Nemru mipi Hashem, they were said directly by God. Sefer Dvarim, Nemru mipi Moshe. What does that mean? Shehisig Beruach HaKodesh, as we discussed at great length before. He says, Me'achar Sheba'olam Hazeh Adayin Lo Yigi Hazman, we're not yet ready, the world is not ripe for revealing the deeper Torah, which we call the Torah Chadasha. Therefore, Sefer Dvarim, which is an all-inclusive Sefer, meaning it includes within it Hasagos, these concepts that are difficult for us to understand, that's included in Sefer Dvarim. So El Sheim calls those.
Question: did Moshe Rabbeinu wrote it with the Ruach HaKodesh? Did he know this is the Torah of Mashiach?
Correct. He knew that this was the Torah of Mashiach, and he knew that when the Mashiach will come, he will get access to what's called the 50th Sharei Bina, because Moshe Rabbeinu in his lifetime only had 49 out of 50, and that 50th, which will be revealed to Moshe Rabbeinu at the time of Mashiach, will give him an ability to see all the deeper meanings of the Torah that are inherent and below the surface, and they're all included in Sefer Dvarim. So on one level, Moshe understood all these hasagas, but on another level, he didn't have the 50th Shar of Bina, and therefore he wasn't able to reveal them until the time, Emetz Hashem, the time of Mashiach. So the only thing I wanted to fit in before we have to close is to understand why Sefer Dvarim is going to be read in Shabbos Chazon. That's the way Ezra organized it, at the culmination of the Bein HaMetzorim, right before Tisha B'Av. So he says the following: Mitam zek b'chol shloshes hashavuos shel Bein HaMetzorim. During this period of time called the Bein HaMetzorim, anu misaimim es hakriya b'sefer b'midbar. So, for example, last week in Chutz Laretz, for example, they read Parshas Pinchas, correct? Yes. What did we read here?
We did
Parshas Matos, correct? Am I right?
Yeah.
This Shabbos is Parshas Matos.
We're reading Matos.
And what are they reading in Chutz Laretz? They're reading Pinchas. Yes. And then the Shabbos after, which is the one Shabbos before Chazon,
they're doing two Parshas Matos,
Masa, and we'll do Masa. So he says the following, that during this period of time of Bein HaMetzorim, Anu Misaimim Es Kriyas Sefer Bamidbar, and what that means is we're making a Siyum, a completion on four books that form a unit. And that's Bereishis, Shmos, Vayikra, and Bamidbar. Those four books were the books that endowed us with those oros, those incredible lights that would undermine or neutralize the four Golios. So we have the four books against the four Golios. Then we get to the final reading of the 3 weeks, right before Tisha B'Av. And here we're going to open up a new book, which is Sefer Dvarim. And that's Keneged the Gula Asida. Kedei Lasos B'Kach Poel Dimyon, I think we've discussed Paul Dimion on many occasions. I don't have time to go through it again. But what it is that we're going to bring about the ultimate Geula. In other words, by reading and beginning Sefer Dvarim, which is the book that encompasses within it all of the secrets of the Torah, and that's the tremendous, unique revelation of the Torah Chadasha, the secrets of the Torah that will be zocha to have at the time of the Geula Sida. So we want to read Sefer Dvarim right before Tisha B'Av, as if to say that we are, so to speak, guaranteeing that there will be a revelation of Geula, all of which is the Torah Chadasha that's inherent in Sefer Dvarim. So he says, therefore, on this day, on this Shabbos of Chazon, we're going to read the Psukim in Sefer Dvarim, Laharos, and we're going to try to demonstrate that Olam Umloa, that Hashem Elokim, that everything's included here, that we have the 50th Shari Bina, we have the completion of the Torah, so we should be Zocha then to the Geula and the Geula Sida, which corresponds to Sefer Dvarim, and Moshe Rabbeinu is going to be the one who teaches us Sefer Dvarim. He is going to be the Mashiach, or at least the partner of Mashiach, and we're going to have this incredible understanding of things that defied our understanding, because we weren't capable to understand those secrets of the Torah that will be revealed at the time of the ultimate Geula that are inherent in Sefer Dvarim, and that means that we're going to have the schus of the Geula Shlema b'mheirav yameinu. Okay, then if you get a chance to go over, especially page 5, if you can photocopy it, that would be kedai, very very valuable. I'm just going to open the door because I have a class in Masechet Ksuvos this year.
Rabbi, last week we discussed Eliyahu, the Mekale, or the Taikus, and they need to explain all the things. So we're getting very involved with a lot of people explaining.
Well, there are two parts to the Torah. One part of the Torah is Halacha. And in Halach we have controversies, we have confusions, and we have machlokas, and that's where Elio is going to come. And he's going to bring Shalom, because
we also spoke about him and the Sefer Hadasha, I think.
We spoke about?
The Sefer Hadasha, the new Sefer Torah. Don't we talk about it there as well?
I'm not sure, I don't know. But what we're speaking about today is not the halachic part of the Torah. For that we need Tishbi, Yitaris, Kushis, Vabayis. That's Eliyahu's contribution. But rather we're talking about the secrets of the Torah. And those are inherent in Sefer Dvarim. And Moshe Rabbeinu is going to be the transmitter of that Torah. Okay, then?
Sure.